Shane, this week is Parshas Pinchas, and Pinchas is always difficult for me to say Torah because of who I am and who I identify with in the not in the religious struggle, but maybe in the political struggle that's going on here in Klal Yisrael and Zimri and Cosby and the neshomas of Dina and Shechem and Rabbi Kiva and Eshes Tunis Rufus, and how these are here, these souls approaching one another, and it's not the right time, and so forth. And it's interesting, I heard from my father that the Gemara says, Hayal Zoyim B'chol Yoyim, that Rabbani Shalom has a moment of rage every day, and in that moment, which is just like a kind of, you know, rebooting of the universe and a reorientation. So in every 24 hours, there's one moment of rage. And Bilam, Yudei Adas Elyoin, he was really connected, and he knew to figure out when that moment was, and he was going to curse the Eden at that moment. So what did God do on that day? He suspended the reboot, and on that day there was no moment of chaos, no moment of din, no moment of pachad, no fear. It was like, and there was one Yid who knew it, and he could feel, oh, there's a new hanhoga in the world. It's pure chesed, right? There's no din. Well, we know Olam Chesed Yibone, the Torah calls incest in Parshas Acharei Mois, chesed, you know, because Cain and Hevel, they had to marry their sisters, so what was permitted in ancient times was later forbidden. So, if there's a new chesed, chesed is running the world, there's no mountain din. So, Zimri understood there are new rules, especially when it comes to sexuality. So he permitted himself, when permitted, then Pinchas came along and he said, Rebbe, didn't you teach us? Kanoim poigim boy. You know, the halacha kanoim poigim boy is very unusual halacha. It's basically that while a person is doing the sin, while this Yid is having sexual relations with this Goya, then whoever strikes that person at that moment is not liable, right? Whereas if the person were to do the sin and then finish, and then later somebody should bring him to Beis Din, there's no punishment for what he did. It's very different. In fact, it's unique from all the averis in the Torah, that it's only b'shas ma'asa, only while the sin is in flagrante delicto, right? That the other, the person, the onlooker, has an obligation to stop what's going on. Whereas, for instance, if it was avodah zarah, if a person worshipped idols, then even after he's finished, if he was given hasroi, he was given a warning, and there were edim to observe, then the din can catch up with him at a later time. And that's one of the answers, one of the questions, why it says here, Rabbani Shalom says to Moshe, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron, Akoyen Heshivis Chamosim al ben Yisrael b'kanes kenosim v'soicham. What, you know, what was so different about what was going on here? The Torah tells us that Moshe and Aaron were crying. You know, when the Yidden worshipped the Egel, the golden calf, the Torah doesn't tell us that Moshe and Aaron were crying. And the answer is precisely because with Avodah Zarah, there's a yin and a yang. You know, there's two sides of it. There's the crime, there's the punishment, there's a kind of a scales of justice. The problem with this is that there is no, that's not how it works. Because kanoim poigim boy, the punishment can only come as a response, an emotional response to the inflagrante delicto of this person doing this avera in public. After it's over, right? Then there's nobody can charge him with a sin or a crime and say, you know, you got to be punished, right? So then what was happening was something that didn't have a tikkun. There was no fixing. There was no way to fix. So what Pinchas did was he managed to fix something that was otherwise unfixable. So the Rebbeinu Shalom says, "Hin noisen es brisi sholoim." So behold, I give him my covenant of peace. So one of the questions is, why is peace the reward for Pinchas? So there's an interesting parish from the Divrei Menachem, from the Heilige Stropkova, who brings a Torah from the Heilige Berditcheva, from the Kedushas Levi. There in Echo, in the Book of Lamentations, it says, Chet Choto Yerushalayim, a terrible sin Yerushalayim did, Al Kein L'Nido Hoiso, and that's why she became like a Nido, she became Tummy. Yerushalayim became Tummy. So the Bedichev says, why does it Dafka choose the paradigm of a Nido when describing Yerushalayim? So he says, you know, there are different kinds of tumah. There's a tumah mace. Somebody touches a dead body. So he does hazoy gimel v'zayin. You know, he gets sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer on the third day, on the seventh day, goes to the mikveh. Or somebody touches a sheret. Somebody touches a dead mouse. Another creepy crawly. He can go to the mikveh and become tummy tahor that night. But the mace itself never becomes tahor. The sherets, the dead mouse, never going to become tahor. It's going to stay tummy. So the difference is that the nido, she herself is going to become tahor. It's a different kind of tummy. It's a tumah that passes. And not just that, he says, the blood of the nido itself becomes tohor when she has a baby, then it's dam toha. The dam itself is tohor. So the end result is a tahara that is a really profound tahara. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom says, Al ken l'nido hoy, so that the tumah of Yerushalayim, whatever it is that is affecting Yerushalayim, goes away and becomes a tahara. So he says, that's why the inyan of Pinchas is that Pinchas brings something about which at the time just doesn't seem possible. You know, the effects of what Pinchas was doing, he was killing a Nosi, not just any Nosi, right? Nosi Shevet Shimon. We know the story. The Ishbitza says that when Dina was with Shechem and her two brothers, Shimon and Levi, they came to rescue her. She said, I'm not leaving here unless one of you will marry me. So Levi didn't want to marry her because he could see all the Leviim and the Kohanim and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron who were going to be coming out of him. And he said, you know, you're my sister. Maybe my kavona in marrying you is not going to be 100%. And then what's going to happen is whenever a Yid does something that's not 100%, or it's 100%, but somebody looking at it can say, you know what, that didn't look good, that didn't look right, then it can bring about a process of birurin, that a person has to prove through his actions in other situations that the original act was free of any kind of psoilis, any kind of fleck, something that, you know, that would spoil it. When we have silver, we have to put it through a process of assaying to make sure that the silver doesn't have any impurities in it, right? and that's called birurin. So, for instance, Yosef HaTzadik, his brothers were choshed him, they suspected him of having broken the covenant. For them it was Lashon Hara. But somebody who can't keep the covenant of Lashon Hara, also Avada, can't keep the other covenant, the Bris Milah. So they put him down into Egypt where he would be tested. So when he was tested with this, he proves that the original speech that he spoke to Yaakov Avinu didn't contain any Lashon Hara with it, that the Kavona was 100% pure. Levi said, I'm not going to marry Dina. And Shimon said, Avada, I'll marry you. Of course I'll marry you. To bring you out of here, of course I'll marry you. And he married her. So Taka, the whole world, looks at Shimon and says, how could you do such a thing? Dina was impregnated with the Zoyhamo of Shechem and that whole culture that she'd been with, spent time with, and was married to, and like, you know, here Shimon takes her to make her one of the matriarchs of the Jewish people, and look what's going to happen. So the Shevet Shimon has to go through Birurin. Interesting that the Nois Desha, who's the son of the Meir Shiloach, he says that the Erev Rav didn't marry into any of the tribes, only into Shevet Shimon. Because you know something? Shevet Shimon was so holy that they knew nothing can touch their holiness. Nothing, there's nothing that can be happened to them that would diminish their holiness. And the Ishbitzer says that each of the tribes has its time when it leads. And throughout history, each one of the tribes has had its moment when it produced the leader. And he says that Shimon Bar Yochai is from the tribe of Shimon, but that Shimon really is the holiest of all the 12 Shvotim. And especially in all matters dealing with its sexuality. So Avada, the heir of Rav, comes in, and all the tribes are like, saying, no, you can't marry us. We're only marrying to our tribe. But Shimon said, okay, you can make it. Yeah. Of course, they were unable to make it. And all the Hanitzmodim, Lebal Po'oya, the 24,000 who died in the Magefa around the time of Zimri, these were all from the heir of Rav, who had married into the Shevet Shimon and so forth. So it looked at the time so dense and so dark that Pinchas had thrown himself into something that was really just going to cause tidal waves throughout history. You know, sometimes somebody does something and, you know, like then you get this feud, and then you get fighting, you know, like we find later between the tribes of Ephraim and Yehuda, the whole, you know, reenactment of the Yehuda Yosef argument and so forth. So there was that possibility. It looked like it here, but the Torah tells us, God says, "Hini noisnes brisi shulaim, I'm going to give you the covenant of peace," because here, this is not what the outcome is going to be. And the Divrei Menachem brings a Medrash. The Medrash says, Godoil ha-sholoim shenitn le-Pinchas. Look how great is the peace that it's given to Pinchas. She'enem is oil misnagel b'sholoim. The world can't live except with peace. Va'atoyru kulo sholoim. The Torah is all peace. It's written, Drucher Darche Sholem, V'chol Nesivoseo Sholem, all its pathways of peace. And what happens if somebody comes, Odom B'min Aderech, if somebody comes from the road, what do you say to him? You say to him, Shalom Aleichem. If somebody goes to bed, you say to him, I hope you have a peaceful night. And when you say the Shema, right, what's the brocha that you make? Hapoidei suka shalom aleinu. Make a brocha on peace. And what's the last brocha in the Shemayna Esra? Hamavorich Sam Yisroel b'sholoim. And what's the end of Berchas Koyanim? V'yosem l'chos sholem. So, the Derev Menachem says, the whole point about the story of Pinchas is that it turns out, in the end, to have created peace. And that's really, that peace is something that comes at the end of the story. Memele Bedinhu. Bedinhu, he's entitled to this covenant of peace. Because had Pinchas not done what he done, we would still be arguing whether Zimri was right or Zimri was wrong, if this is a derech or not a derech, or who's it, who could do such a thing and who can't do such a thing. But sometimes an act is something that brings about shalom. And the beginning of this sedra is the story of Pinchas. The end of the sedra are the karbonos. And the last of the karbonos is the carbon of Shmini Atzeres. And there's mamash, there's a connection between the beginning of Parshas Pinchas and the end of Parshas Pinchas. It's interesting that Parshas Pinchas is the, you know, if you look at a Sefer Torah, if you buy and sell Sefer Torah and you want to check the Sefer Torah, how good it is, the first thing you do is you open it, you roll it up to Parshas Pinchas, because that's the parasha that gets the most use, because all the karbonos, every Rosh Chodesh you're reading it, and every Musaf is there. So it gets the most use of any parasha in the Torah. And at the end is Shmini Atzeres. So the Heilige Rebbe Rabbinim asks, if Shmini Atzeres, which is the last of all the Yomim Tovim, of all the Regolim, first comes Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and then Ubayoyim Hashmini, Atzeres Tiyalachem, Kamalach Sovet Lisasa. It's a new Yontif. Par Echad, Ael Echad. We make a Shecheyuni, right? We don't make a Shecheyuni on the last day of Pesach. On Shmini Atzeres, we make Shecheyuni because it's a new Yontif. If it's a new Yontif, why does it say Ubayoyim Hashmini? It doesn't make a difference what day it is. Okay, so you got 7 days of Sukkos, and then you have a new Yontif. So in Pshischa they were wondering. And why do they call it Atzeres? Atzeres means to stop. Right? You could say it means stop work, right? Or stop, don't go away yet. Other Yom Tov Shavuos is also called Atzeres. So I could just say over Yom Hashmini Chag, Kol Malech Savoy De Luisas. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says that one of the differences between a human being and a malach is that in the presence of God, the malach is overwhelmed. That when the Rebbe Shem reveals himself, you know, the malach has no idea who God is, right? The malach doesn't know God any more than we do, right? But the malach can sense the presence. And when the presence is too imminent, the malach gets struck dumb. However, we have these names of God that we can say, Baruch Ato Hashem. And we can address God in the first person. However, when Mashiach comes, we're going to be struck dumb, just like just like the Malach. Our sense of the imminence of God is going to become so powerful that what happens, so he says, V'yoyim ha-shmini, that the 7 days, that's the world. V'yoyim ha-shmini is Mashiach's times. V'yoyim ha-shmini atzeres tir lechem. Your ability to speak my name, says God, it's going to be stopped. You're just not going to be able to. Because the revelation, the revelation of the divine is going to be so powerful. You know, we were learning when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah that there are two kinds of revelation of the divine. There are two kinds of Gilui Shechina. The Simura Menechem, lift up your eyes. Rimu Bura Eila, look. Who created the heavens, the earth, right? Hamoitzi B'mispar, God who brings out every star by name. I mean, basically, the prophet is telling us, go look, go watch a sunset, right? Watch the stars come out. When we see, when we become aware of God through looking out like that, it's unbelievable chesed. We're aware of the Chasdei Hashem. Avraham Avinu, all his life he davened, Rabbeinu Shalom, please reveal yourself in the world. Right? And for Avraham Avinu, God was this beginner of Si'imura Menechem. So Rabbeinu Shalom says, all right, I'll do what you ask. And he gives him a son, Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Gilui Shechina. Yitzchak is the revelation of the divine in the world. But Yitzchak is pachat, right? Yitzchak is terror, sheer terror. Why? Because for Yitzchak, it wasn't about looking outside the self. For Yitzchak, it was about looking inside the self. So Yitzchak experiences the Shechina inside himself, and that is really, really scary. Because there, the Shechina is about immanence, not transcendence. Right? It's about the closeness, the hiskarvus. So when Yitzchak was in himself, then he couldn't speak because of the pachad. So the Rebbe of Pshischa tells us that comes Mashiach, there's going to be that kind of hisgalus, and it's going to be atzeres tir lechem. So this idea that in this parasha we have Mashiach is here in the Ishbitz. In Me'er Shiloyach, I know that I'm sure I translated it in to talk about it in previous years. It says, "B'yoyim ha-shmini, imei shiloyach, b'yoyim ha-shmini atzeres lechem." On the 8th day, it's atzeres. B'ze ha-parasha nirmas keitz ha-achrin. In this parasha, there's a hint to the end of times. V'yikurim bonu, and it will be fulfilled in us, the verse in Tehillim. Yichvoid Hashem la'olam. The glory of God will be for the whole world. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav, and God will rejoice with His creatures. So, I spend a lot of time wondering why the Rebbe chose this pusuk to talk about Bias Mashiach. And it's gewalt, right? Of all the things that we were expecting, all the psikim that we could say that applied to Yemos HaMashiach, it's nice to know that Simcha is the chief, right? Yichvoid Hashem le'olam, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. The Ribbono Shel Olam has joy with his creation, with his deeds, with his actions, with his asiyah. And who's the asiyah? No, we are the asiyah. So, why is this a Ramaz of Mashiach? So the Teferis Yosef talks about it a lot. And he says, the Gemara says, that in the present time, music is played on 7 strings, in the Beis HaMikdash. That the scale, that the 8th note is already, the octave, it's already Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, Do. There is just already a repetition of Do at the bottom. It's really 7 notes. The 8th is already, I came back, Chayz Chulila, right? In the future, the Gemara says, in Mashiach's times, musical notes will be, the scale will be different. It'll be 8 notes. And then, Oylam Habo, it'll be 10. It's very hard to imagine what kind of adjustment it will require to our whole brain, you know, to hear that we will hear music so differently, that the whole scale of everything, all our appreciation of tone and everything will all be different. I listen to the birds here from my window sometimes, and it's music, yeah? I mean, everything, it's not just our human ear which is going to change, right? Everything's going to change. So he says, the Indian is, there's such a thing as Hekev Shiva and Hekev Shmoida. That in the current time, I work 6 days a week. And I think I have to work, I have to strive, I have to mizach plugin, mitchen, omol, odom la omol yulad. My job is to put in as much koyach as I can. Hishtadlis, I've got to do my bit. I can't just sit at home and say, you know, the mailman's going to throw my check in the mailbox. I have to go out and work if I want to get money and so forth. Then comes the 7th, comes the makif, comes the wraps up the week. The makif is the wrapper, makes a hekif. Comes Shabbos and wraps up the week, and I realize it's not true, really, that Shabbos has really given me the koyach for the whole week. As soon as I stop and I stand back, and I realize, Rabbani Shalom, you know, I went out shopping, I bought challahs and chicken for Shabbos, but you know what, I don't know where the money really, really came from. It came from you. And, you know, it seems like the mailman really did throw the check in the door. I don't know what's going on. And if I really stop and think about it, it seems to me that the time that I wasted during the week doing all my stuff was mamash a waste. And I would have been much better off not doing it. It was, come Sunday, and I'm starting again, right? But comes Shabbos, the 2nd Shabbos, and again I come to the same realization. And if you were to ask me, is there another way? I'll say, for sure there's another way. But I'm caught up in this 6 days a week, wrap it up on Shabbos, 6 days a week, wrap it up on Shabbos. But if you ask me what's worthwhile, for sure Shabbos is what's worthwhile. Because on Shabbos, I realize where everything is coming from. So the Ishbitzer says, there's a realization beyond that. And that is Hekev Shmoina, where God says, now I'm going to reveal to you that everything you did in the 6 days of the week is precious. Even if you thought it was mamish for nothing, it was just a waste of time, it was just a way of whatever, I want you to know I'm now going to unravel history and I'm going to show you how everything that you did is precious. And all the thousands of years of the history of humans is all precious. And everything that happened, Yismach Hashem b'maaseh. And so the music of the future doesn't have seven notes. It's a new music. It's eight. Because the Rabbeinu Shlomo is going to show us how even the 6 days of the week are as important. Who would believe such a thing? Yichvoid Hashem la'olam, Yismach Hashem b'masav, with the asir. Zohar HaKadosh says, there are two kinds of time. The highest time is Eis Rutzon, a time of desire. And it's a time of desire that Moshe Rabbeinu moves between the worlds. He goes from this world to the other world. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who was able to live his yechida in this world, in this lifetime, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Ish Emes. Moshe Rabbeinu dies at Shabbos Mincha time. Why? To show that his death isn't real death. Because it's a time of Rav and Ravin, a desire of desire. Eis Rutzen. So what's the lowest time? Eis Lasos. The time of action. Zohar HaKadosh brings the Pusik, Eis Lasos Lashem, Heferis Yerusecho. The Gemara says, why did they turn the Torah upside down? Because it's a time of action. Sometimes you have to turn the Torah upside down because it's... But turning the Torah upside down is a very serious thing, right? So Eis Lasos it refers to the worst of times. You know, in Chinese, when they want to curse somebody, they say, I bless you, you should live in interesting times. Because the times in history that were really worth living in, that were nice and quiet, Hashkit, Vishalva, Veitach, those were all boring times, right? If you're living in interesting times in Ishgit. But here we're being told, Yichvoid Hashem la'olam, Yismach Hashem b'masav, that there is coming a time where everything is revealed. And that's, of course, that's the Bris Yishulayim that we get at the beginning. That in the future, Mashiach is coming, and there's going to be a major revelation. Right? We talked about it when we were learning the end of Sefer Yetzirah, how Yitzchak shows us how to see God. Immediately, Yitzchak shows us how to see God, meaning in a new way, that Avraham Avinu couldn't show us and Yaakov Avinu couldn't show us. All they could say was, Misal Kiddush Hashem, Yimochi al Kiddush Hashem. Miyad, we lift up our eyes, and that's the Geila, right? It has to come through Yitzhak. It has to come through seeing the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and going through the pachad of not being able to even say Baruch Ata Hashem, because we're so aware of the imminence of God. It should happen speedily, swiftly, in our times, in our days. And we should be zoiche to hear the kinoy shel migdash of the eight strings. And it should be takat seres tir lechem, that we shouldn't have to work. It should be a yontif.